Now, on Bulldog Live, it's Second Amendment Tuesday. Joining Bulldog is attorney Penny Dean.
1-866-823-1077. Continuing discussion on interstate transport of firearms. But first, an update from what's happening in the State House this week, including this afternoon.
Now, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up. At least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
Steve Voss with Come and Take It, as we use every week to introduce attorney Penny Dean for our weekly Second Amendment Tuesday segment here on Bulldog Live. Hi, Penny.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, boy. I would say it's a good day, but it really isn't, because what's so good about it with White Knuckle Ride all the way in?
Well, you know how it is. What the heck is with all this snow? We're only in January. Okay, I don't want any more snow.
I like the snow, but darn it, don't give me a dusting of snow when it's 0 degrees and you go over it once and it turns to ice underneath you.
Oh, my gal. Yeah, I mean, we've
That's the worst.
Piles and piles of snow. We got enough to send to Alaska or to Arizona. They could have some.
Okay.
Yeah. Can we get those trucks moving?
Oh, boy. Well, I'll tell you, we got to keep moving here today because there's a lot going on, isn't there?
Oh, my gal. Now, most importantly, we have what we call House Fishing Game and Marine Resources Committee.
Okay.
Has a bunch of hearings today. They start pretty much at 10:30, 11 o'clock, and they run right through today. And here's what's important about them. They have a bill that would allow the director of Fish and Game to suspend someone's hunter safety certificate. Now, why do they need to do that when they can suspend someone's hunting license, okay? Because they want to punish someone. Let's say a person gets their hunting license suspended. They get a hearing. They get due process, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, this would suspend your hunter safety certificate. And you say, well, why do you want to do that if we're suspending their license? That gives them two bites at the apple. Because let's say I want to hunt out of state. And let's say I go and I challenge the suspension of my hunting license and I win. And they're pissed about that. So now they're going to move to suspend my hunter safety certificate, so I can't hunt out west or somewhere else that requires a certificate.
Oh.
So that gives Fish and Game two bites at the apple, basically what I call the sore loser bill.
But you see, here's the thing, and this issue has come up with the Erica Blizzard case, and believe me, I'm not taking her side. I wish she did lose her driver's license yesterday as part of that punishment for driving like an, well, idiot, to say the least, on Interstate 93. But, you know, there's New Hampshire requires a boater safety certificate, you know, a course that you've taken. You get the certificate to prove it. Well, they're trying to take that away from her, and she's saying, you really can't because it's not a license. It's just a certificate to show that I completed this course that the state requires me in order to operate a vessel like everybody else, but it's not a license, so where's your authority to do so? I'd have to ask, where is that on this? But then again, the legislation would grant them that authority, which I think, for reasons like you're saying, may not be a good idea.
Right. And in Erica Blizzard's case, and again, like you said, I'm not taking a position about her case, but what they were trying to do to her is procedurally wrong. Because if they can do that to her, they can do it to you or I.
Exactly.
And so I think that what they're doing is wrong. It's unjustified. It's another way of saying, oh, I'm mad at you for this, so I'm going to find 10 ways to punish you. And what we need is law enforcement officers that operate within the law.
So let me ask this question. So if the Fish and Game director is allowed to suspend your hunter safety certificate, is there an avenue in this legislation to be able to appeal this, you know, have some administrative process as well?
Well, they reference 541, but you know what I say? Let me put it this way. If you're so convinced, why shouldn't a person get due process just like everything else? Because, for example, if you go in court or whatever, in a regular judicial proceeding, you're allowed to have discovery. We don't have what's called trial by ambush. Each side gets the information, so you can fairly try it before what we would hope is a neutral and detached magistrate, or just, or justice, you know, depending on the situation. And that's the way it should be. However, these type of hearings, there's no provision for any of those things, and you have what I call trial by ambush. And they have all the ammo, and you go in and get ambushed. And that's just not a way to do it. Maybe in Russia, maybe in Eastern Bloc countries, we do things that way, but this is the United States. And in theory, we have some measure of due process.
So what bill number is this?
This is HB, I believe, 196. We have 195. Yes, HB 196. It's being heard in House Fishing Game and Marine Resources Legislative Office Building, Room 307, at 11:30 a.m. today.
Okay.
And then we have at 11 a.m. HB 195. It just might be of interest relative to special permits for transportation of deer. They make it a little more reasonable for people who have to transport deer that maybe they didn't shoot. In other words, maybe they hit it on the highway or a variety of other things. So people should look at that. That's a good bill.
Okay.
And then we have HB 194, which I think is an excellent bill, and that is being heard today at 2 p.m. in Legislative Office Building 307, which is the House Fish and Game and Marine Resources bill. And that basically eliminates the restrictions pertaining to, quote-unquote, loaded rifles, shotguns, with a cartridge in a magazine or clip attached to the gun is repealing. And basically, the way it works now is they have used the hunting statutes, what I call the fish and game statutes, because they're always arguing, oh, we're worried about poachers. And what it's done is greatly infringed on law-abiding people carrying their firearms to and from the range and a variety of other things. And so this bill, HB 194, which is being heard today at 2 p.m. in House Fish and Game and Marine Resources, is an absolutely excellent bill to bring back a fair balance. Because if someone's misusing a firearm, like anything else, you can charge them with a variety of crimes. You don't need the mere possession of a firearm with loaded magazine or loaded anything else to be a problem. Like I said, how is it that in Texas and all sorts of places across the country, they have loaded firearms all the time in vehicles, and we don't hear this mass blood in the street running?
Well, you know, Peter St. James has been the most vocal critic of it on here, on the station, of House Bill 194, because there's a fear. I mean, look, New Hampshire roads, yeah, we have some very rough roads. You're going to have a loaded shotgun sitting on your rack. You hit a good old frost heave, and that thing goes off. Which way is it going? Well, that's one concern. Same with an ATV as well.
Well, you know what? Then how is it that all those police cars, don't they drive on the same road you and I drive on?
Yes.
Don't they hit the same bumps you and I hit?
Yes.
You ever been shot by a police cruiser rifle or shotgun?
Not yet.
Okay, so why would my rifle or shotgun do any different than theirs?
Well, let me ask this question. Do the state troopers ride around with a round in the chamber?
I don't know what the state troopers do, and each individual department is different, but you have not only state troopers, but we have, what, 200 and some cities, towns, and municipalities in the state?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They have, depending on the particular department, they have rifles and shotguns in their cruisers, right?
I believe they do, yes.
Okay.
Usually you don't see them, but yeah, I know
they're usually
there.
In the trunk.
Yeah.
Okay. And again, depending on the department, each department has their own rules, regulations, right? And some of those include full autos. Some departments carry full autos.
Now here's a question, because, you know, let's say you can't, because currently you cannot carry a rifle or shotgun and have a detached clip loaded with ammo, right?
Arguably, the way the law, but you can't even have one in the chamber. Let's say that I was with what I call the other theory. Okay, let's say I carried a shotgun in my truck and I didn't carry a round in the chamber. Let's say it was a pump, but I had them in the tube ready to pump into the chamber.
Okay.
I currently can't do that in New Hampshire.
Right.
Okay. And so if you're worried about the quote-unquote safety thing, first of all, I can't even do that, which if there's not a round in the chamber, tell me how that's unsafe. And you can't do that now. This bill would allow the doing of that. And each person is going to make their own determination about how to safely carry a firearm. Because like I said, if we had all this mayhem where I respectfully disagree with Mr. St. James, totally disagree with him, how is it that all these other states, we don't hear about all these accidental shootings all the time?
Okay. No, I mean, fair point. However, yeah. there's a companion bill, and this is the other concern that has been raised, because there's another LSR that would allow you to basically put one foot on the ground. You're driving down the road, you see a moose, a deer, pheasant, whatever, turkey, and you just pull over, up, put one foot on the ground, boom, right there on the side of the road, because it would repeal that 15-foot limit. From the edge of the road, too. That isn't really, to me at least, isn't really a good hunting practice. You know, because
yeah, but what's the difference between people that go to game farms and stuff where that's how they're allowed to hunt? Take Croydon Park up north, okay?
Because that's a controlled environment. You're driving down, say, Route 127,
yep.
And you know, you see something there. You don't know if there's a house back, you know, behind you, because you're supposed to know where you're shooting anyway. You're always supposed to know what's behind,
right?
You know what you're shooting at.
But what I'm trying to say is, those type of people are going to do things irresponsibly anyhow. The only difference is you're going to have one less crime to charge them with, because anybody who's not going to know their backstop, which is a basic rule of shooting, okay, is know what your backstop is. If they don't know what their backstop is, those people are already getting what we call jail timeouts. You know, those people are already going to do silly things, because you can't legislate common sense.
Right.
You just can't. We've got a million rules about what you should and shouldn't do, and anybody who goes to the internet and goes to the dumb crooks website, they got a couple, websites devoted to what we call dumb crooks.
Yes,
those are always filled up with people that you say, why did they do that? And the answer is because they're dumb crooks.
All right, so we're talking about House Bill 194. That begins at 2 o'clock before Fish and Game and Marine Resources. So you and Peter are on opposite sides of this.
Absolutely.
And I think this board's going to have to stand
now.
Today.
Yeah, well, the bottom line is, now as a practical matter, a shotgun is really the best self-defense tool around, and I can't carry a shotgun in my vehicle with me as a practical matter, because if I want to have it loaded, and I'm not even talking in the chamber, I can't carry it loaded with me.
But, you know, there's other issues, too, behind that. You know, whether you're allowed to carry the shotgun or not, could you even really use any kind of firearm as self-defense while you're in your vehicle?
No.
That's a whole other discussion, too.
Well, I'm talking about if I were to choose to stop. Let's say I got stopped in bad weather or whatever and wanted to get out of my vehicle. The bottom line is that I can carry, you know, they have AR pistols, okay? So I can get an AR pistol. Legally carry that concealed every day of the week, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Why shouldn't I have that same AR rifle? All you're doing is adding 10 inches on the barrel.
Well, let me ask this question, because as was pointed out to me this morning, you know, at least with a pistol, you know, you've got that on your person. That's secure. That's not really going anywhere. Whereas, you know, someone throws a shotgun in the bed of their truck and that's loaded, ready to go, or in the back seat or something, you know, we have those issues of the possible accidental firing.
Well, most people are not going to let their shotgun or rifle just skitter all around.
I know certainly hope not.
I know how much I paid for my shotgun by the time I got it customized. That baby is not just getting trashed around, number one. And when they talk about unsecure, every time any of us goes into courts in New Hampshire, we have to leave our handguns in our vehicle.
Yes.
Okay, unlike in Massachusetts where you check them in inside the court and they lock them up for you.
Are you serious?
Absolutely. New Hampshire should be embarrassed, because in Massachusetts, let me tell you what happens, okay?
Okay?
I've been practicing law in Massachusetts for 11 years, I think, and here's what happens. If I were to hit the front door in New Hampshire with my firearm, let's say I forgot, right?
Uh-huh.
The chances are I'm going to get arrested and charged, right?
Yes. Right.
Even before I hit the metal detector. If they figure out, I'm going to probably get arrested and charged. In Massachusetts, I walk in with a loaded concealed firearm to the court. And in Massachusetts, we got two lines, one for lawyers and what I call one for people, clients and everybody else, right?
Uh-huh.
And you get to the bailiff and you say, I'd like to check my firearm. And if you're in the lawyer line, they said, okay, right this way. And you walk out back to a room they have and they put you in a little locker and they give you the key and they say, have a nice day. And you say, thank you.
This is amazing, because, you know, that stretch that you walk from your car to the courthouse in New Hampshire, you're not allowed to really, you know, you're essentially prohibited from doing so.
Absolutely. And not only that,
oh my gosh.
Statistically speaking, lawyers that do marital law are at the greatest risk. I do marital law.
I can tell you how many videos I've seen on TV where a lawyer's walking out of the courthouse and you have a distraught client that turns on his attorney and just starts firing on him. And the attorney, he's unarmed because not allowed to carry a gun, you know, inside the courthouse.
Absolutely. Or like me, for years and years and years, I told all my colleagues and all my friends, if I'm ever found dead, I want you to look first at person X. And it was my client's ex-husband, who'd been in and out of jail more times than Carter's got liver pills, who'd once left her in a pool of blood somewhere. And you know what I'm saying? I said, this guy's crazy. He's crazy.
Penny, I have to take a timeout right here. We're running late. 1-866-823-1077. Second Amendment Tuesdays with Attorney Penny Dean here on Bulldog Live on The Pulse.
Bulldog Live will continue after these messages, live on The Pulse.